May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. That doesn't mean that he cares about you. It means he takes care of you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Our adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. How do we do that? Firm in our faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, as charismatic Christians, we would assume that when he says that we're to resist the devil, firm in our faith, it means that we're to tell him to go away so that what we're going through will go away also. And there are times when we, of course, tell him to go away, right? But he says here, resist him firm in the faith, knowing that the same experiences are being accomplished. Something's being accomplished positively here by your brethren in the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, well, wait a minute. If I stand firm in my faith, I tell the devil going away, why does it have to be a little while? Isn't it supposed to stop now? But in a little while, he has called you to his eternal glory, to experience glory in Christ, which himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. The faith here in this verse, and again, there are times when we tell the enemy to go away, right? But charismatics have become so demon conscious that he has a more important place in their theology than God does. And I'm a bug-eyed charismatic. Here, being resist him firm in the faith, let me give you a little clue what he's talking about. James chapter 1. Here's when it kind of gets really ridiculous. Because he just got through telling us to not be anxious for anything, didn't he? So in the little while that I'm suffering, I'm not supposed to be anxious? Well, that didn't seem fair. Isn't anxious one of my anxiety, one of my God-given rights? Verse 2 of James chapter 1. Now let this sink into your heart. Hear it again for the first time. Count it, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing, this is why you can count it all joy, because there's something that you know, that the testing of your faith, remember 1 Peter, stand firm in your faith, resist him, stand firm in your faith. The testing of your faith produces endurance, that's faith with muscles, okay? Produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Well, didn't Paul say somewhere in like Colossians 2 that you have been made complete in Christ? Don't we talk about that all the time? But here he talks about when you go through various trials. The word various is the same way a word would get very colored or variegated plant. It's got lots of flavors to it. Now, understand that I believe that we're supposed to pray for somebody who's sick to be healed every time. But we're to pray for people's wholeness. You with me? But there are things that we go through that we don't have any control over, right? That are just anguish if we let it be. But he said, be not anxious for anything. He said, count it all joy. So be firm in your faith. One of the ways to be firm in your faith is instead of trying to survive what you're going through, start counting it all joy. Now that's risky. You with me? Knowing that there's going to be a produced in you a faith that can believe God for bigger things when it's done, that's endurance, and that which you already have, you've been made complete, but he said, this will make you, perfect you and complete you, lacking in nothing. So that in your experience, it causes us to draw from the treasure that's already ours. When we break through into something, we're not breaking through into something we didn't have. We're breaking through into the apprehension, the experience of what we already have in Christ. When a person starts praying for people and they get healed more consistently, you didn't break through into an anointing that you didn't have. You broke through into the experience of anointing that you already have in Christ. I'm both complete in Christ and growing in my experience of that completeness. Isn't that what we pray for all the time? Don't we pray for more all the time? And again, not more that we don't have, but the more experience of that we do have. Don't we pray for that? Don't you pray for that? I long for that. God uses various trials to posture us for breakthroughs into the more. And so not only am I not to be anxious at everything, there's something to be accomplished, according to 1 Peter. It's being accomplished by fellow Christians around the world. You're not the only person going through something. That may be a shocker to you. But other Christians are going through stuff, and some of the things they're going through is harder than what you're going through, and a lot of them are going through things that look just like or feel just like you. But God says they're accomplishing something. Accomplishing what? He said, when it's all done, I'll strengthen, I'll perfect, I'll establish, I'll confirm you in Him. Count it all joy. See, that's daring faith. That's really go for it. Just break off, get out of your head. I was with somebody this week, who a couple of clergy came down from Tennessee, and he was telling the story here. This guy was a 30-year military person, and he came to a prophetic conference. Though he was open to the things of the Spirit, he never really experienced the things of the Spirit. Well, this ain't the place to come unless you're really ready to go for stuff. And I don't remember any of this, but he said, I grabbed him by his belt very lovingly and moved him to a place and made him give a word, which he had never done. And we prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember this part now. We went back to his hotel and the Lord just busted out in him. But he said when I was praying for him, he said, you told me what you said to me. And he remembered this after all these years. He said, get out of your head. We have to do that when we're going through hard places. Get out of our head, stand firm in our faith. That's how we resist the enemy. The enemy is the one behind all the anguish. You understand? His attacks aren't just physical and stuff. He attacks us mentally and emotionally, doesn't he? Isn't that why he said just before that, casting all your anxiety, because that's one of the places he loves to come at, create anxiety when things are going on? The Lord said, count it all joy. That is so foolish. That's such being such a fool for Christ. But what have we got to lose? Our anxiety doesn't change the outcome, right? Count it all joy. Win until you see the victory manifested. We don't have to win once it's manifested. Win on the way. Jesus is the way. Interesting to me, in Job chapter 1, when all the fun stuff started happening to Job, remember that Satan went before God and said, look, yeah, he's praising you and all that kind of jazz, but because he's got everything perfect in his life. So God gave him permission. And so the enemy let these things happen. There were natural disasters and his children got killed and stuff happened. But the Chaldeans also came and killed a bunch of animals and did a bunch of bad stuff. And the Sabaeans, not the Sabans, for all you Auburn fans, the Sabaeans came. It's almost spelled like that. And they attacked and did a bunch of stuff. But in every conversation Job had with God, he never brought up the devil. He never brought up the Chaldeans. And he never brought up the Sabaeans. He knew he was dealing with God. If we ever get hung up on that, then we're in trouble. You can't count it all joy if you just get hung up on the evil that people do or whatever, the devil. And because of that, you remember when Job, at the end, when he finally got it, what God was saying to him, because he'd been giving God counsel, telling God how unfair it was and yada, yada, yada. Job said, I know you can do all things, that no purposes of yours can be thwarted. That's either true or it's not true. Who is this, me, who's given you counsel? I have declared that which I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. That's bizarre. I mean, he was in real pain, but it's bizarre. That's a count it all joy mindset, because I know something. There may be things you're going through that you don't know. That's hard, isn't it? The part we can't control. But there's something that you can know. That this is about your own personal breakthrough. About your family's breakthrough. About other things breaking through. It's about God accomplishing. You understand? That's what it said in 1 Peter. They accomplished through their suffering. God's accomplishing something bigger than you can ever imagine. And you personally and beyond that, start counting it all joy. You got nothing to lose except your anxiety. And it pulls the teeth of the enemy. Because it robs him of the one thing he actually has control over, our response, if we let him, and the horrible emotions and mindset that comes with it. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.